Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh, there is as well.
Another one.
But it should be enough to go round. Welcome to the penultimate episode of the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. Who could it be?
People know because they've read the title.
Yeah, they have.
But let's try and maintain some sort of... Yeah. Oh, give us a clue, Marcus.
It's our third Italian egg.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's Gianluca Vialli.
Now, this is appropriate at Easter because... What a decorated egg.
Yeah,
Luca Vialli is.
Absolutely right. And also...
what a wealthy egg.
We've had an Italian referee egg, an Italian management egg, and now an Italian playing egg. Mm. What a contribution Italians have made to the eggs of our great game.
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely. A very, very wealthy egg, though, wasn't he?
No, he came out from the streets, man.
Did he?
For some people, as we know, football was their only way out of the ghetto. Right? Gianluca Vialli is the shining example of that, Marcus.
Gianluca Vialli, the castle, and it was a castle, he grew up in, has its own Wikipedia page, and 60 rooms.
60-room castle. The Castello di Belgioso.
Belgioioso,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah,
Please look it up, ladies and gentlemen, for crying out loud. It is his rather
father,
impressive.
His father was a millionaire, but I believe self-made.
Self-made, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
So. He slayed the dragons.
He did.
For Viali, so he could build a platform to be a professional footballer.
Exactly.
I mean, to be fair, right, they often say that footballers who are from tough backgrounds, you know, it spurs you on because you know what you could be living in,
yeah,
and to give you that extra determination. I mean, Viali, born into that level of wealth,
yeah,
that doesn't mean to say if you're born out of wealth, you're therefore lazy and you think, I don't have to do anything,
yeah,
but you need an awful lot of determination.
You've got to really want it because there's nothing pushing you.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit hard to sort of say really destitute footballers, it kind of spurs them on. I don't think it can sometimes just ruin them because nobody knows how to spend money that they've never had.
Yeah, well, that is true.
Sorry, Jim.
Sorry, you have the personality type you have, don't you?
Yeah.
Regardless
yeah,
of your background.
Enough. It'd be like me, if I got £1 million, I'd be ruined.
He'd be dead.
I'd be dead.
See you again, would we?
And the other thing is, people don't talk about, they speak about, oh, well, this guy grew up on the streets playing football in bare feet with a load of rolled up socks or whatever.
Mm.
And they talk about it as this kind of romantic thing. But what poverty actually does, of course, is just put people under tremendous amount of pressure,
yeah,
because it means they have to go out and work 2-3 jobs. They can't spend the time with their kids perhaps they want to, so the kids might not get the upbringing they otherwise would have because they're put under this kind of pressure. So obviously it's not the glamour and the romantic side that people too soon leap to. But with Viali, I agree with Marcus on the other side of it. It's, you know, there's no motivation for you to do anything. For me, if I grew up a millionaire, it'd be the worst thing in the world for me, because there's no necessity of invention, right?
Yep.
Necessity is the mother of invention. So for someone like Viali to grow up in those surroundings, he must have wanted it so badly, and also to throw over those stereotypes, like just a rich kid who's playing around with something because he doesn't have to have a real job or whatever, and he's risen to the very top of the game, and he seems like a lovely fella as well.
Well, and he would have received comments, I'm sure, for other people, because they would have known where he would have grown up.
Yeah,
you know, that.
Why are you late? I couldn't find my boots. They're in one of the 60 rooms in my house.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you late?
Yeah, because it took me 5 minutes to get to the front door.
Yeah.
Blimey, O'Reilly. Yeah. Viali was in our attention well before he moved to the Premier League, of course, having played for Italy and Sampdoria and Juventus and whatnot. But that signing Ruud Gullit made for Chelsea. Now, Ruud Gullit coming to Chelsea in the 90s. Was massive for the Premier League, or the Premiership as it was back then, I believe. It was so big. But Ruud Gullit, he had a bit left in the tank, obviously, but it was a bit of a twilight of his career. You could argue the same for Viali in one sense. However, he just won the Champions League with Juventus, and then he turned up at Chelsea. And this wasn't a particularly fashionable club. This is when Chelsea changed.
Yeah.
And it was before Abramovich's billions.
Well, this was Matthew Harding's money, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was, obviously it was money, but that's football for you. All football clubs, you know, if they make a radical change,
it definitely part of a big change at Chelsea. For
yeah,
sure.
but Viali was so crucial with that, and he was a real... It's strange, because he felt like a real club man at Chelsea, even though he wasn't there for that long.
Yeah.
Obviously went on to manage them and whatnot. But,
well, player managed them.
Yeah, wow. True. But one of the Prem's biggest marquee signings back in the day.
Definitely. And can I put something out there?
Please, brother.
Cast your minds back to all the ones we've done so far. Kalina, Charlton, Lechkov, Leeds, Henry, Saki, Dublin, Future Eggs, McAllister and Barthez. Gianluca Viali looks by far the strangest with hair. Amazing curly Buffon haircut.
I agree with you.
I would go as far as to say he looks even weirder than Gary Mack.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean.
You see him at Sampdoria, and he's like a whirling dervish. Incredible player. I mean, we could spend 20 minutes just talking about the kind of goals he scored at Sampdoria, where he just looked like he was playing on fast forward compared to everyone else in that league.
Yeah, a lot of the goals
Yet
he scored.
Yet his hair is so jarring.
Yes, I know what you mean. A lot of his goals were volleys from huge, raking, long balls, which is what a skill to have.
Yeah. there's a great clip of him at Samp where, again, it's this classic, like... Serie A in the 90s, or was it the 80s now? I guess it would have been, but it sort of bled through to the 90s as well. It might have even been early 90s.
As time does.
He left Sampdoria in the early 90s. And it's just this, to me, in my mind, it's this lazy Sunday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
I was probably watching it on the sofa, Gazzetta Football Italia. Mm. It's dappled shade over the grass. Mm. Socks are rolled down. People are walking around. And there's just this guy up front buzzing around 100 miles an hour. At one point, he picks up the ball deep, goes past the player, puts it out wide, ball comes over. overhead kick from about 15 yards in the top corner. And runs away celebrating on his own. Like, everyone else is like, well, hang on a minute.
Calm down. We're already 1-0 up.
That's how we do things here.
There's like something not quite right about your hair.
Yeah. You won't be able to force any of that half-time cheese down if you carry on like that. he's like a footballer in a world of cricketers.
Well, it's funny. When he turned up with Ravenelli at Juventus, and it was just like Ravenelli would just amble around as the big guy.
Ravenelli would be like the nucleus to the atom. Do you know what? Sampdoria would be like the proton.
By Sampdoria, he was up front with Roberto Mancini, which is a lovely old job.
Yeah. Mancini was a great
player. They were childhood friends as well.
Yeah.
And they were known as the Goal Twins, which is so adorable.
Goal Twins.
Yeah.
Wow.
But did Mancini ever really have an upbringing?
Peter! I knew you were going to go in that direction.
What did he say, Marcus? Well,
no. Didn't he? Because he shouted Peter all the time. He'll never hear it.
Let him talk about porn.
Oh. No, don't.
No. Yeah. Don't want to.
Eulogised about Vialli's career, and then you have to bring up pornography.
Peter, it's not a time for that.
It's a time for eggs.
That's one to clip out, isn't it?
Getting fertilised.
Mancini, by the way, was a great player. Underrated player. Do you remember he went on that little spell to Leicester?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He scored an amazing goal.
Quite a strange thing. With his trademarks.
But I think Mancini looks like he was from pretty good stock as well. Like quite an affluent background.
Yeah. I doubt they met on the mean streets of like wherever Vialli was knocking about. Yeah.
That's one of the goal boys, mate.
I reckon that Mancini and Vialli, I mean, that's an incredible setup that is.
They won the title at Sampdoria, which was their first, and I think only ever, Serie A title win.
Really? Okay.
I think it was. Not that many sides have won Serie A, actually.
No. In 91.
Yeah, because in England, loads of different teams have won the top flight over the years.
Yeah.
Portugal, I think only 5 teams have ever won the top flight. It's very
limited. Vialli was top scorer that season as well, apparently.
Yeah.
What an iconic team that was as well.
Oh, amazing. But what an iconic time for Italian football. I've got 16 players here in the top scorers list for that season in Italy. Uh-huh. Can you name anyone else apart from Vialli?
Have a 16.
What year?
Yeah, 1991.
Hullet.
Zola.
Baggio.
Careful. Hang on. Baggio, correct. He was fifth. Got 14 goals.
Hullet.
Zola's not on there.
Ugh.
Hullet's not on there.
Ravenelli?
Van Basten, yes. Right. 11 goals. Ravenelli is not on there either.
Dino Baggio, he's got a few, didn't he?
No, not on there.
Beppe Signori.
Love to hear the name. No, not on there. Second place is a very, very famous world-class, world-level for years midfield player.
Battistuta?
Oh, midfield player. Yeah. Midfield player?
Yeah.
Playing
for Inter. Milan, Dutch players.
Oh, Lothar Matthäus.
Correct. Yeah, Lothar Matthäus. A couple of other names worth mentioning there. Mancini himself was in there. Padovano was in there.
Padovano? For Juventus.
Ruben Sosa. Padovano was at Pisa at the time.
Okay.
Great to see a Pisa player in the top
Love
scorers.
Love that. Pisa, Parma, all those ones that kind of fell out of favour, let's say.
Ruben Sosa and Claudio Caniggia for Atalanta.
Oh, wow. Was it Daniel Fonseca in there, or was he a bit later, maybe?
He wasn't in there. No, Fonseca was good around that time. Mm. He was played for Uruguay in World Cup 90, but he's not in there.
I remember with Football Italia on Channel 4, one of my earliest memories was seeing James Richardson give Vialli the shittest certificate I've ever seen in my life for winning,
really?
For winning the public vote on the favourite player. He won it by a ridiculous percentage, I remember. And I remember Zola was second, that's why I thought he might be.
He wasn't
up there
in there. But I'll leave you with this, which is the absolute epitome of a lovely old job, right? The joint third top scorers in Serie A that season both play for Genoa. Carlos Aguilera, the Uruguayan, no relation to Cristina, and Thomas Schiravi, his strike partner. 15 goals each, both up front. Lovely.
Schiravi, presumably all
in
headers.
Serie A
as well.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Beautiful.
Great
beautiful. Stuff. All right. Let's
a worthy digression.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. Let's go for a break then, eh? After more, Gianluca Vialli.
Why aren't any of my digressions worthy?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hard-boiled poached or scrambled.
Because they can get us in trouble.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. And you know it is, because you just smiled.
I just resent people reviewing their own content.
Give us a digression now, then.
Eggs, eggs, we like eggs.
That's the subject.
Eggs.
You bottle it.
What's the second thing that's coming to your head after eggs?
I was literally looking at that camera up there, see if we could work out some kind of autofocus system.
That's the kind of thing that goes for his mind.
Yeah.
You know, we had a little thought experiment last night on the WhatsApp, didn't we, where Pete is walking around a swingers resort completely naked, apart from a gold HDMI cable around his neck.
Oh, if you ever want a bit of fun, read the reviews of Hedonism 2 in Jamaica on Google.
Is it a bit of fun, or is it actually quite depressing?
Oh, it's tragic. It's wonderfully tragic. Anything a bit sexy on Google Maps, just read the reviews. They are spectacular. And they always review the food. Who eats food at a time like that?
Finally, well, everyone's got to eat, right? Got to keep your energy up, presumably.
Finally, before we let Marcus continue, which I think he's aching to do.
Yeah. He's aching, isn't he?
Do you see it as part of your future?
What do you mean? Swinging.
Hedonism 2.
Oh, if he's
the goal boys.
3.
Me and the goal boys in Hedonism 2.
I'm going to start Hedonism 3.
There is a water park nearby called Hedonism 3, Marcus. Runnings.
Yeah, I know. Which I like.
Don't have a go at me for not knowing that.
Yeah.
Just keep up on your hedonisms.
Cool, we've got to get through this. We've got another one to do after this.
Me and Hedor Rick, you know that guy?
Peter, to be fair, this hedonism chat would be more appropriate for the next one. Okay? We'll leave it at that.
Come on. Lovely little trail.
All right.
Get us going, Prudy Voller.
Right. Prudy Voller.
We'll do that later.
That's enough of that. Yes, he did play and manage Chelsea for a bit after Ruud Gullit was sacked. He fell out with Ruud Gullit. Don't be surprised by that kind of report. That was in about 1998. He came in, he won the Cup Winners' Cup and the League Cup. They were already quite far in those competitions. But Viala gets the credit. They beat Real Madrid in the Super Cup, though. And this was, again, at a time when Chelsea were becoming a more fashionable side. And the thought of them beating Real Madrid in the Super Cup was absolutely ridiculous. And he became the youngest manager to win a UEFA competition when they won the Cup Winners' Cup. Andre Villas-Boas would take that record from him, though. You see. Do you remember when Chelsea played Barcelona in the quarterfinals of the Champions League? And they won the first leg 3-1. And they went 3-0 up. And I remember Viale absolutely loving it on the sideline. Yeah. And people were thinking, flipping Nora. You know, this was when the Premier League, you know, Manchester United obviously had won the Champions League, or they did win the Champions League in the late 90s. But this was, again, this is when the Premier League was starting to
Well, it's part
really
of the transition for sure, because before then, there was talk that really players, and people forget this, or they're not old enough to remember, the Premier League used to be a place where older players would come, almost like a proto MLS kind of thing.
Sort of. Yeah.
And I kind of feel like the first, and I might be wrong, the first player to not be in that category was Zola, who was like still very, very good then.
I can't remember if he or Ravanelli turned up first, but you could say that about Ravanelli.
Yeah. Bergkamp as well.
But he played for, he went to a very unfashionable club. Like teams like Manchester United weren't really considering these sort of footballers. But, they were going to be second tiers.
Even Bergkamp, Jim. I mean,
but Bergkamp was down on his luck.
He went there because he didn't have anything going on. You know, he was poor before then.
Yeah, Ravanelli just won the Champions League with
for a bit.
That's why Viale, even though he was in his early 30s, so fair enough, I get that. But he had just won the Champions League.
Yeah.
So he
That
was
when Gibson was chucking a lot of money around, right?
Yeah, but Viale as well, though.
Was it Andrea Silenzi? Was it first or second? Or was it Lombardo? First Italian?
Oh, Lombardo came to Palace very early on.
I just was that Silenzi?
Silenzi
was the
at
first,
Forest.
Was he the first Italian?
The Brush.
The Brush. He might have been, Pete. I don't know, actually.
He might have been.
Good question. Yeah. Do your own research, mate.
The... have we talked about his international career? Because I really want to talk about him in World Cup 90. Yeah.
Well, let's do it then. He played at 86 and World Cup 90.
He was kind of like the main forward going into that tournament. Of course, it was played in Italy as well, so it's a big opportunity for him. But he kind of got sort of sidelined after the first game or two.
Yeah.
And then obviously Baggio and Scalacci had a sort of revelatory tournament. And so he didn't really kind of make the impact that he was expected to. And then in 94, I can't remember anything really about 92, but in 94, he had a massive bust up with Sacchi, didn't he?
He did. Well, Italy didn't qualify for Euro 92.
That's right, yeah.
But he fell out with Sacchi, didn't play for Italy again, apparently played a prank on Sacchi, which is
a terrible idea.
Well, it's a bad idea, but is this even a prank? I mean, he put Parmesan cheese in his napkin at dinner, apparently.
What a prank.
This scene is so typically Italian. Yeah. Can you imagine anything more Italian than that?
This is the cheapest Parmesan I've ever seen. Yeah. It's like itching powder.
Yeah. The overreaction to it just adds to that, doesn't it?
I mean, it's not.
This is Parmigiano, it's not even from Reggiana.
It's not Roy Keane and Mick McCarthy, is it?
No.
No. What is, though?
I don't know.
To be fair?
Shove your Parmesan up your bollocks.
Vialli also loved a tab, didn't he?
He did.
Another one loved a tab.
Another smoked egg.
Scratched that up, yeah.
Certainly. When he got sacked by Chelsea, they'd won the FA Cup in 2000, but he got sacked a few months later. He thought that when he was called into a meeting with the chief exec, he thought it was for a contract extension.
Oh, dear.
And he said, I was thinking, how much money should I ask for and whatnot? And the guy, Colin Hutchinson, said, you used to say, Vialli, after 3 years, you either change the whole team or the manager. Well, we're going to change the manager. And he went, but everything I said, you've taken that?
Yeah.
You haven't listened to me anymore.
God, what a way to start a meeting as well. Effectively getting him to sack himself with his own words.
No beating around the bush.
Well, you did tell us to do this in a way.
What about all the other stuff I said? Yeah. About be loyal.
About me being really good and taking this club to new ground.
That's right.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. But yeah, so like I say, he's oddly, in my mind, kind of synonymous with Sampdoria, Juventus, and a bit of Chelsea as well.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
But I mean, he won so much, didn't he? I think, is he the only player to have won all three European competitions?
Well,
I think he's won all of them and has a runners-up medal in all of them as well.
He definitely won the Champions League at Juventus. He won the Cup at Sampdoria and Chelsea.
And the UEFA Cup.
Not sure of you. Oh, yeah, he did. He won that at Juventus
He won it at Juventus, yeah. He did.
So, at one point, he was the most expensive player in the world as well.
He was, absolutely. Worth pointing out. Yeah.
So many accolades.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the Juventus sides in the mid-90s were something else. You know, there are certain allegations about them, but they won the Champions League. I mean, they played in three Champions League finals. They only won one of them. They've got a bit of history, recent history, of losing Champions League finals, of course, but they did win one, and he was there. But that Champions League side that beat the holders Ajax in the final on penalties, a really good Ajax side, you remember them, of course. He played up front with Ravanelli and Del Piero. And it's interesting, I mean, what a front three that is.
Oh, yeah.
And you think to yourself that, because Vialli for me was always a forward, but he could play on the wing. Ravanelli, I think, was more kind of out wide as well.
Yeah.
But I think of him as a centre forward. And then Del Piero, I don't think of as a wide player either. I think of him as more as a kind of just tucked in behind one of the strikers. But yet it worked. They managed to fit those three in that side.
Del Piero and Ravanelli, both excellent pointy sideburns.
Del Piero particularly, some great ones. Yeah. You know, if you're unclear about the kind of company that Gianluca Vialli should be kept in, World Soccer, which I used to read a lot back in the 90s.
Well, that was like, without the internet, that was your insight into,
exactly.
As it suggests.
They were comprehensive. And they do a World Soccer World Player of the Year every year, still do it now. And Gianluca Vialli won it in 1995, right? Oh, yeah. Which is an incredible
stiff
achievement.
Competition then.
Yeah. Well, listen, so he went right in the middle of the 90s. If you go from 1990 to 2000 to get an idea of the company he was kept in that decade, 1990, Lothar Matthäus, then Jean-Pierre Papin, Van Basten, Roberto Baggio, Paolo Maldini, Gianluca Vialli, Ronaldo, Zidane, Rivaldo, Luis Figo.
Yeah.
It's company. It's exalted company. Not many people have trodden that golden path.
No.
And he certainly has.
I totally agree. And I think it's an appropriate way to finish. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the penultimate episode of our 12 Eggs of Easter. We're back tomorrow with a big one.
Oh, I'm excited.
was a Radio Stakhanov production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.